The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. The holiday shopping season is here, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man Soap. It's a big-ass gingerbread man soap that you can enjoy without going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap too, and at almost 5 ounces, it should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's BobAndChez, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Merry Christmas!
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters.
Relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com, with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us. The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it. And now, as Festivus rolls on, we come to the feats of strength.
Not the feats of strength.
This year, the honor goes to Mr. Kramer.
Frank, no offense, but this holiday's a little out there.
Kramer, you can't go. Who's going to do the feats of strength?
How about George?
Good thinking, Cougar. Until you pin me, George, Festivus is not over.
Oh, please, somebody stop this.
Let's rumble!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
China!
Hi, this is Yoko. I want to wish you and your family a very happy holiday season. Give peace a chance. I love you.
It is December 22, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob, and that is Chez Pazienza sitting right over there.
Hey there.
Hi. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Probably a little bit too late to buy your gingerbread man soap. I think it's way too close. I mean, you could buy, if you're celebrating and exchanging gifts on New Year's Eve, I mean, maybe there's still time. But not if you're exchanging gifts this weekend. It's not going to happen. Maybe you can get some free legal advice as your last-minute holiday shopping items from the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Just go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez, or just click the link on the podcast page. All right, so it's going to be one of those goofy last shows of the year. I think this is the last show of the year. No shows next week. Obviously. No, there'll be no after party tomorrow. There'll be no after party for you.
Yes.
Happy holidays.
I'll be traveling. I'll be taking Inara to see your grandparents.
Oh, that's exciting.
No, it sucks. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm really thrilled to see my daughter, and I'm really thrilled that she's going to get to spend time with her grandparents. But I've been traveling so much that the idea of getting back on a fucking plane, like going through that whole hassle is just, it's exhausting to me. And on top of that, like, Taryn has to work, so she can't go. So I'm basically the whole thing sucks.
And I kind of went through the same thing, except I just decided, you know what? I'm not going to fly anywhere this year. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm staying right here.
That's what I like to do on Christmas. I like to not travel at all. I don't like to go through the hassle. I don't like to have to deal with any of that crap. I mean, I have to do the whole thing where, like, where I stop and now, since my daughter is no longer here. And
She's back.
And pick up Inara, and then we have to go together. And it's like, you know, I mean, look, again, really excited to see my kid. And happy to see my family. I just, what I should have done is just said, you know what, here's $800, fly your asses out here.
Yeah, Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's why actually do the traveling yourself if you can cut a check?
Yeah. Just I mean, have people really, come to you. That's where I am right now.
I mean, I just figure I'm not important enough to show up. I kind of convinced myself of that. It lets me get away with not showing up at holiday functions without a guilty conscience. Just figure, well, who wants to talk to me? What do I have to say? Why am I so important? Why do I need to be there?
Merry Christmas!
But you know what? I'm actually kind of thinking, maybe we have to bleep where your daughter lives. Maybe we have to bleep the town where your daughter lives. And, and there's a specific reason why I'm mentioning that, because the racists and Russian Trump trolls have discovered my Facebook page. It's been lots of fun for the last 24 hours, both Twitter and Facebook.
I've asked you this before. Why in God's name is your Facebook page public? Everything on mine is hidden. I don't want anyone looking at mine who is not a friend of mine.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. It's not actually funny at all. It's quite boring to explain this. But the fact is that I didn't want to start like a brand new page for my, because you know a lot of people have like a page. A lot of public figures, a lot of journalists, podcasters, and so on have their own page where they don't have they don't mix their friend page with their public, like, here's everyone right. Who listens to what they do page. I don't know what you would even call that. Is it a like page or is it a fan page? I don't know what it is. But I didn't want to start a second one like that. I've already got the Bob and Chez Show page, which I barely ever update. The same with the Bob and Chez Show Twitter account. So it's like the Facebook account, I decided to start making everything public just to kind of substitute for having one of those things. Because I fear change and I didn't want to switch it over. A lot of people who start out with just a regular friends and family page end up expanding their page into other people. And then they switch it over to being just a like and follow page. And so, I'm just too much of a schmuck to do that crap. I don't know how it all works, and it frightens and confuses me. So I just leave it as is, and that's the long story why my Facebook page is the way it is. But it's been fun for the last couple of days, and I think it's especially because the last couple of Salon articles I wrote and a couple of things I wrote for the Daily Banter as well, they've all just sort of converged on my crap. They're just all over the place. It's like a swarm. And I've just taken to assuming that they're all people from a Russian click farm. I automatically assume. I have no evidence whatsoever proving.
They have those things? I've never heard of something like that, although I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely click farms. I mean, in fact, a lot of Silicon Valley corporations use like overseas click farms where there's like these just sweatshops filled with computers and people sitting behind the computers earning probably $1 a day or something like that, 50 cents a day. And all they do is click whatever you want them to click on. So if you want to get a million views on something that's important, then you just hire a click farm and they give you a million views. That's the simplistic description of exactly how that works. So I assume that there are Russian click farms in Ukraine and Russia itself. I mean, didn't they start a bunch of hashtags? Wasn't there like a hashtag thing that was started going around and it all basically got traced back to someplace in Russia with just a bunch of people in Russia were all, it was a pro-Trump thing. Of course it was. But I think that's the way it works. But whether it's true or not is another story. I'm just assuming now, it's just as a thing that I'm doing to kind of troll the trolls. Is whenever I get a Twitter troll that has deplorable in their name or something like that, or just, you know, accosts me about something I wrote, I just automatically assume, well, these are Russians. So I'm like,
maybe.
You know, feel free to tweet in your native Cyrillic, like write back things like that. But so in the comments on my Facebook page, it's really interesting. All of the Trump disciples and loyalists who I assume are from Russia. But probably aren't really. Got into it with, like, I posted this thing the other day on Salon about the death of being presidential. It's going to sort of be.
Yeah, I read that. I thought it was a really good piece.
It's going to be sort of one of the narratives that I sort of pursue over the next 4 years. God help us all. And just the whole idea that Donald Trump is ruining what it means to be presidential. He's the complete opposite of being presidential in every way, shape, and form. And I kind of based it off of a description of what it means to be presidential by Douglas Brinkley. So, I mean, I just decided to jump in on this, and it's kind of pissed off some people. It's kind of, there's some Trump people aren't very happy with what I wrote. And here's how Douglas Brinkley describes being presidential. He said to NPR a couple of weeks ago, he said, "I think the most important aspect of being presidential is not to scare the world or the American people that you're going to do something irrational, going into war in a willy-nilly fashion, using sloppy language that disturbs allies, being too jingoistic in presentation to the point that the rest of the world's economic markets start wondering what's going on in the United States." So it's really about gravitas, of showing that you're ready for the big game, that you understand that you have to act in a professional and in a sane manner. That's Douglas Brinkley's definition of being presidential. Notice how none of that applies to Donald Trump. In fact, what Douglas Brinkley described there is the opposite of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not rational. He says things in a willy-nilly fashion. He uses sloppy language. He's too jingoistic in his presentation. Make America great
and
again.
He's just an embarrassment as a human being.
Completely lacks any gravitas whatsoever. He looks like a cartoon supervillain. I mean, he looks like some sort of a villain that you would see on the Super Friends circa 1977. That's Donald Trump. There's nothing.
He has no taste. He can't dress himself. He's just a fucking disaster.
That's right. There is a quality that is physical, that is superficial about being presidential. And he is not presidential. And you covered it quite well in your article about how the guy just can't dress himself. But that's only one aspect of it. I mean, there's many other things. But what we have also learned over the last 24 hours is Donald Trump himself is insanely superficial. I mean, he's picking cabinet members. He's picking staffers inside the West Wing based on how they look. And we're going to talk about that in a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But the response to my presidential article in Salon has been hilarious, to see the Trump people just wigging out. They have no response for any of this. In fact, one guy, there was just this, you end up in these ridiculous debates with trolls. And I don't know why, because I have been just summarily deleting and blocking them as they pop up. But there was one guy who showed up, and he just basically called me a dickhead. He just said, "You're a dickhead." And I was brilliant response. I wrote 1,000 words qualifying why Donald Trump is not presidential at all. And your response is to come here and call me a dickhead. And then he's like, "I didn't call you an idiot. I called you a dickhead." That was his response. And I was like, I know. I just said you called me a dickhead. And it was just like down this.
Yeah, just don't. It's like, I saw the thing that you posted on Facebook when you mentioned the Russian click farm thing.
Yeah.
And it's somebody, I can't remember who the hell it was. Might have been just somebody I saw on Facebook or Twitter, said that, you know, have you ever gotten into an online fight with a Trump supporter where he has not fucked up the your thing?
Oh, yeah.
The your you are thing.
Yeah, yeah. That happens a lot. I see that a lot. And it's always fun when a swarm of them arrives. It's almost as if they've been dispatched. It's, to quote Les Nessman, it's almost as if they were organized.
Yes.
You know, and so that's why I automatically assume, and I know it drives them nuts, that they're all Russians. I'm like, good one, comrade. You know, and they hate that. All right. So let's get back to, I mean, I know it's lots of fun to talk about the trolls, but just insanely frustrating to deal with them. And I am going to just desperately try not to get wrapped into their madness next week when I am supposed to be off and not dealing with crap like this.
Let's see how well that works for you.
I know.
I know you.
But I mean, the latest thing that we're going to have to swat down, and over the last a couple of days we've been having to do this, which is that this whole notion of that Trump, I mean, you wrote about it for the Daily Banter, that Trump won the popular vote if you leave off the millions of voters in California and New York.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's the new spin that they're putting on this. And yeah, it started.
His ego is so delicate.
Yeah.
That he has to come up with and you know it bugs him. You know that it eats him alive.
Oh yeah.
Which
yeah.
is why he's surrounding himself with the usual, you know, sycophants and his the idiot rabble who still come to his rallies, because he has to have the adulation. He has to have that affirmation from people saying, "Oh, you did win. You did win the popular vote."
Yeah. If you leave off the two biggest states in the United States, you just leave that right off. And it's like saying, going back to our presidential thing, it's like saying Trump is totally presidential if you leave off his stupid hair and everything he's ever said ever publicly ever. Just leave that all out, and well, of course he's presidential. That's not the way it works. So, I mean, if we're going to leave off California and New York, it's like Chris Lavoie said the other day on, I think it was on Twitter. He said, well, let's just leave off Texas and Florida, too.
Right. Yeah, I said if you leave off Florida and Michigan, then congratulations, you have President Hillary Clinton.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I don't know. I mean, can they actually look at this line of reasoning and go, hey, yeah, if you just eliminate California and New York, like Hugh Hewitt was fucking doing this on MSNBC last night.
Well, here's the thing. The thing about it is that it's by saying that, by saying like, well, you know, if you don't count Florida and California, then Trump wins by, you know, by his proverbial bullshit landslide.
Right.
What they're trying to say is that the quiet implication is that California and New York shouldn't count anyway because they're not the real America.
Ah, yes, exactly right. Not the real America thing. That.
Yeah, because you know what? Those elitists who look down on the rest of us in New York and California, which, you know, irony of ironies, Trump. And this is something that's just depressed the piss out of me for the longest time. Like, I love New York. I've written about New York. I lived there for almost a decade. My affinity for the place is well known. I was there right after 9/11 and, you know, sort of rebuilt my own life with the city and tried to, through some small way, to sort of help it rebuild itself.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I have like this utter love for the place, and to me, it's the center of the universe. And going back there over the past couple of weeks was wonderful. It was great to be back, but it's still there's this dark cloud that hangs over that place now because it bothers me to think how in the hell could the nightmare, the biggest fucking threat, that the internal threat that this republic has ever faced, how could it have come from a place as cosmopolitan and intelligent overall as New York City?
I know.
I mean, granted, I say that knowing that, you know, if you think that New York is entirely liberal, you're crazy because you've never been out in the, you know, the outer boroughs and dealt with the mooks.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Which, by the way, I love. That's a wonderful. It's always been a wonderful aspect of New York. I may not have to agree with them on everything, but you know what? That's what makes the city what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you drive drive like half an hour outside the city and you're going to and go to any bar and you're going to find the most racist sons of bitches that you, basically the same quotient of racist that you would find maybe in some parts of the Deep South.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, bear in mind, too, that if you eliminate California and New York, I mean, Donald Trump got 2.6 million votes in New York. 2.6 million votes. So, OK, let's fine. Let's eliminate New York and we'll just take away Donald Trump's 2.6 million votes there, too. Then also in California, where Donald Trump won 3.9 million votes.
Yeah.
So don't forget, I mean, when they just willy-nilly eliminate states like California and New York, they're also eliminating a whole crap load of Donald Trump votes, too.
Yeah, but you know, what you probably get is you probably get the same thing from like Trump voters in New York and California that you get from like whenever I write about, you know, whenever I make fun of Texas and somebody says, you know what, I'm from Texas and you have no idea what it's like being here. We're sorry. I'm sorry. Like they get all apologetic. Yeah. And you know that the sort of conservatives in California and New York feel that way.
Yeah, that's exactly
like, oh, I'm so like sorry for how liberal my state is.
They're like behind the Berlin Wall or something like that. Yeah, I know. I totally get that. And certainly I've been in that situation in the past myself. Well, actually, no, because I was thinking I was in the opposite. Like I was in a really, when I lived in Pennsylvania, I was in a really red area of a blue state. I mean, everyone around me was voting for, the city, the county seat of the county where I lived in Pennsylvania, Berks County, was the city itself was very blue. The county, very red. And then, of course, the state, very blue. So, well, not anymore. Not anymore. It's Donald Trump's state now. Pennsylvania voted for Donald Trump this year.
Merry Christmas!
God help us. All right. So, when we come back, we're going to take a short break here to talk about Harry's Razors. But when we come back, we're going to play this audio of this cranky, racist Kentucky lady and get an update in terms of where she is. And of course, this all dovetails nicely with
I would imagine sitting in her trailer.
Just the rot. Yeah. Sitting in her trailer, just
smoking menthols.
The cultural rot in the United States is once again represented perfectly on video throughout social media yesterday. So we're going to talk about that right after we talk about this. Harry's Razors, just a couple of days left. Couple of days left to shop for those last minute gift items. People you might see at parties or some other family and friend gathering next week. It doesn't have to be on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve that you receive your Harry's razor. You can come in next week, too. People will forgive you. But, I mean, the holiday season, it's great for that sort of thing where you say, well, you know what? Maybe not Christmas Eve. Maybe we get together next Tuesday night and have a party, and then you're ready with Harry's razors. The holidays are great, except when it comes to finding the right gift, especially for the guys on your list. For the guy gift, it's both personal and practical. Right now, I'm recommending Harry's Winston Shave Set with a chrome handle. You can even get the handle engraved with his initials. The Winston set also includes three of Harry's German-engineered five-blade cartridges, each with a flex hinge, a lubricating strip, and a trimmer blade, and a blade cover for travel. That's brand new. Plus, Harry's foaming shaving gel that smells amazing, all in a very iPhone-type box for just $25. Love the packaging, by the way, from Harry's Razors. I could stop there, but it gets even better. $5 off of that price because you listen to this show. You get Harry's Winston set with some top-shelf blades and a travel cover and this great-smelling shave gel, all for just $20. But only if you use the code BANDC when you check out with Winston set at harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com. For an even lower priced gift, consider Harry's Truman set at just $15. And for just $10, you get Harry's starter set, a great stocking stuffer, and a great set for yourself. That's at harrys.com, HARRYS.com.
It's around the corner now.
Yeah, it is. It's Eddie Money.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yeah, I don't know why. For some reason, Eddie Money has become synonymous with the holiday season here on this show.
He really has. We should get him on as a guest.
God,
next Christmas, we should bring him on as a guest.
We should totally do that.
Mr. Money Man, that's right, Eddie Money. Wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
I'm totally doing that. I'm totally doing that. I'm going to start working on that as soon as we get back from break. I'm like, I'm going to call up Eddie Money's people and be like, yeah.
Eddie Money has people at this stage?
Eddie Money. You know what? He's actually a reality show star now. Okay, he had a really successful reality show. I became obsessed with Eddie Money the other day. I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can find what Eddie Money's doing these days. I ended up on this Oprah Where Are They Now thing. And they did a whole segment on Eddie Money. He actually had a very successful reality show. That's right, the Money Man, Eddie Money. Wishing you a very happy holidays. And here's what's included. When I say happy holidays, here's all the holidays that I have included in happy holidays. Arbor Day, I'm going to throw an Arbor Day in there. 4th of July, which other people call Independence Day, which is also the name of a movie. My favorite summer blockbuster is Independence Day, by the way.
Oh, look, TMZ's got something on him.
Oh, really? What's TMZ saying?
He's going to basically be deposed in his drummer's lawsuit against him. Ex-drummer's lawsuit against him.
Oh, good. He's being sued by his drummer.
Sued for wrongful termination and sexually harassing his fiancée, supposedly.
Oh, Jesus. Seems like a nice guy, doesn't he? I get a call in January and say, yeah, you know what? I want to book Eddie Money on my podcast. I do this podcast with Ches Pazienza. Maybe you know him from CNN or MSNBC. And we want to have him on.
Wow, yeah, that's going to fly.
I say, we want to get Eddie Money on the show. We want to book Eddie Money on the show. And I say, well, wouldn't you want to book him? It's kind of tight over the next couple of months. Well, I mean, not the next couple of months. I want to book him for next December.
Like, exactly.
11 months from now, we want to get Eddie Money on the show simply because we want him to record a holiday greeting that's customized for the Bob and Chez Show. It's not just this.
This is the Money Man. That's right. Eddie Money wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
Everyone have a safe and wonderful New Year.
Yeah.
That a little bit. I know. But we need to get one like that in which he says our names. I'm going to start working on that. It's never too early to start working on an Eddie Money booking. That would be a serious get. All right, so moving along here. This cranky racist Kentucky lady has officially been banned from JCPenney.
Oh, wow.
Hey, there's a bunch of words I never thought I'd ever say together on the show all at once.
I want to get banned from JCPenney. I want JCPenney to do a completely ineffectual ban on me since I haven't been to JCPenney in I don't know how long.
If you haven't heard this this bat crazy old lady, this racist old lady at the JCPenney's the other day, here's a little bit of that.
like everybody else did. It starts back there. And it don't bother me if I say it, and I don't care if everybody hears me.
I love that. That's my favorite part of this going into it. Is her, I don't care how many people hear me. I'm sorry, but I'm going to, that's what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know what? Yeah, because obviously you're a fucking human id. Yeah. You're a 6-year-old who can't control her fucking mouth.
That's right. And again,
sleepy
this is
old bitch.
She doesn't mention Trump at all, but this is exactly, you can trace this back to Trump. There's an entire segment, there's an entire voting block in the United States. Some portion of the 62 million people, 62 million suckers who voted for Donald Trump, believe they're now entitled to act like this in public. They're now entitled to act like Donald Trump in public. And that's what she's doing. She thought she was holding.
That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. He has taken the reins off all the things that they. All the things that they supposedly weren't allowed to say in public for a long time. Now it's like Trump has given them a sanction to say whatever awful piece of shit thing is on their mind at any given moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the important things about being presidential. You want to be presidential in order to set a positive standard, to be a role model for the American people. This is how we behave in public. We don't rant incoherently for hours with gestures and talking smack about the press and, you know, just all the bullshit Donald Trump crap that now people are doing. This woman was absolutely doing Donald Trump. She was doing a Donald Trump impression of J.C. Penney, just going off on these two Latina women. The story is that she is second in line. There's a Latina woman in line at the register. It looks like it's either a checkout counter or a return, like a customer service counter. And the Latina woman's friend comes up with an additional item and hands it to the Latina woman who's paying at the register. And this, to this old racist bat, is tantamount to cutting in line. She's like, well, you're cutting in line. But she's not cutting in line. How many of us have ever done that? We're there with our spouse or we're there with a member of our family and we're in line and they run off to go, oh, we forgot fabric softener. I'm going to run back and get fabric softener. Okay, run back. I'll hold the place in line. They come back with a fabric softener and you pay. That's how this works. Not acceptable to the racist old white crank who's inspired by Donald Trump to start just ranting at the JCPenney. Can you imagine? It's probably bone dry at about 90 degrees inside that JCPenney on a holiday shopping day, and this lady decides to just turn it into even a greater hell than it probably already was.
What also bothers me is that nobody fucking says anything. You know, just once. I want to hear somebody say like that asshole on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, on the Delta flight. I just want somebody to knock somebody's teeth out and this won't happen anymore.
Oh, I know.
Or take a stand and just go, you know what? You need to shut the hell up. Shut up.
I mean, I hope that something like this doesn't happen in my presence because I'm going to end up spending the night in jail.
Yes, no, so would I.
I'm not necessarily.
I absolutely would.
I'm not necessarily saying that I would physically accost anyone necessarily. Certainly not some old lady. But the guy in the Delta flight, I would be so tempted to just hit him in the fucking cheekbone with my elbow. Just like,
oh yeah. My fantasy on that is basically just, you know, excuse me, get out of my seat. Just walk toward him. Just walk down the aisle toward him and just fucking smack him in the face.
Exactly right. Just like the open handed smack.
Just punch him in the teeth.
Get a hold of yourself, man. Thwack! You know, just one of those. You get away with that. You know, you get away. I was just trying to snap him out of it. I see it in movies all the time. Get a hold of yourself. Smack, smack, smack. And then he's like, of course, he's going to continue ranting. And then I would end up in jail. The TSA would pick me up. But I mean, even like with this lady, I would go off on her. If I was in line, I would become a social media star because I would end up screaming back at this lady and telling her to shut the fuck up.
Look, I realize you're angry because you have to go home and change your Depends. I know that it's full. It's sagging right now. It's sagging into your polyester pants that you're wearing.
Here's a little bit more of this crazy. I mean, it's just like, I mean, tell me you wouldn't be tempted to go, just anybody to go up to this woman and say, just shut up with your Depends undergarments.
Your probably feels the same damn way I do. Yay. Thank you.
Yeah, someone did speak up. They went, yay. Or they acknowledged that what she was saying was supported by someone.
How lovely. Lovely. God bless Kentucky.
Beautiful people.
Go back to wherever the f*** you come from, lady. Y'all think you... They can't act like the hero. They come.
The assumption that because they're Latina, that they're just they're immigrants. They could, they, you know what? Exactly. They could be like third generation.
Right.
They could totally be third. She doesn't know. Yeah. She's assuming. You know, I have this thing too, and I have no evidence either way regarding the Latina woman's ability to speak English. I'm going to assume that she speaks just fine English, and this woman was just a crazy racist. So that's the basis upon which I'm making this observation. But at the same time, every time I hear this, and I used to hear this, especially when I lived in Pennsylvania, because there was an issue locally about making English the exclusive language on ballots, where for a while they were doing bilingual ballots and they wanted to roll that back and just make them English. And I have this thing where even if you're an immigrant and you come here legally and you step off the boat, you're not going to know how to speak English right away. It's going to take maybe anywhere from months to years to learn to speak English. In the meantime, you're speaking your first language. And even after you learn English better than this crazy, crank, racist lady, I mean, in a lot of cases, these people who are screaming about how Latinas and Latino ought to speak English speak terrible English.
Yeah.
And but so even in the process of learning to speak English, you're still going to rely on your first language. And then even after you learn, you're still going to speak with an accent. It's just the way it works. It's just basic logic. But this is unacceptable. Why? Because it really has nothing to do with the language. It has everything to do with just people like this woman hating anyone who is brown. People of color just don't belong here. Just go away. And she's empowered by Donald Trump now to basically weaponize that in public. To just lash out like Donald Trump does during his rallies. Here's a little bit more of this woman.
Here to live and act like everybody else. Get in the back of the line like everybody else does.
Yeah, please start acting like everyone else. Start acting like me. I'm a racist, ranting, crazy person who has no public decorum whatsoever. Just like my troll president. Jesus. So I guess the latest news is, I mean, everyone's heard this video, seen this video so far. I don't need to play any more of it. But the latest news is not only has she been banned for life from the mall, not just JCPenney, she can't go into the mall for the rest of her life, which is great. I think that's an appropriate punishment. In addition to that,
going to doom her, because where was this from? What part of Kentucky?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay, so that's Louisville. I was going to say, if she were in some, like, you know, middle of freaking nowhere Kentucky town, it would be awesome because, you know, that would be the only place she'd be able to go, that and the Walmart.
That's right. But she's also facing potential criminal charges. This is interesting. The mayor said, I am sad and disappointed to see conduct like this when one person so dehumanizes another human being, says Mayor Greg Fisher. In an email statement, this is not who we are, and on behalf of our community, I apologize to the two women who are treated in such a horrible way. Meanwhile, Jefferson County attorney asked the woman to contact his office if they wish to pursue legal action, and he's considering filing criminal charges against the older woman. Quote, I personally denounce the intolerant actions of one woman at Jefferson Mall and also feel that this incident could rise to the level of criminal conduct, said Mike O'Donnell, the county attorney for Jefferson County. So I guess that's the attorney general of Jefferson County. So that's possible. I don't know if necessarily criminal charges here. I mean, no one was physically harmed. But I mean, if there is some criminal statute on the books and they want to enforce that, who am I to say no? Who are we to say, hey, you know, maybe you should go easy on the cranky, racist Kentucky lady screaming stupid shit at JCPenney?
I'm not a big fan of being the thought police. You're entitled to think whatever the f*** you want. You want to be a racist ass. You want to think that you're... And again, you know, the thing that I just absolutely love about this is another one of those examples of somebody believing that they're better than another culture when just look at her. You know?
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing about it. White nationalists, 99 times out of 100, are these pieces of shit. This human flotsam,
right?
You know, this idiot old woman, you know, yeah, sure, you're definitely better than the Hispanic lady standing right in front of you. Certainly. You have the right to do that. Look at your life choices. Look at who you are, yeah, where you live, what you are.
I guess people get inspiration wherever they can find it. And it's been so long since these cranky white people in these red states have had someone in politics who represents their ridiculousness. And that's, they've got Donald Trump now, and that's empowered them. They feel emboldened to act like this. You know, the guy on the Delta flight, or the woman in the Michael's arts and crafts store screaming and ranting and acting like just absolute embarrassment. I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, this is something that I can't imagine doing personally. Like, I would never go into a public square and start ranting, you know, seemingly to myself, maybe with a microphone in front of me and headphones on, drinking a cup of coffee, talking to my friend Ches Paziens. Wait a minute. No, but I mean, seriously, I mean, we would never do this, what we do on the podcast. We would never go into a department store and just stand in the lobby and start screaming at people randomly.
Yeah, of course not.
No, it's just not what people do. But now we've entered into this. We've crossed this threshold. Into yeah.
And if you're somebody,
a different
and if you're
world.
Somebody who voted for Trump, by the way, let's just say this right off the bat. I've met people who said that they vote for Trump. I disagree with them vehemently, and yeah. I will, you know, and I'll say that I'm like, look, I think you're absolutely wrong. But that is after being prompted. That is after being engaged in conversation. Under no circumstances would I ever, you know, just hear somebody who voted for Trump. I'm just going to give you a piece of my mind. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just no.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's nothing to be gained by that.
But I mean, if it's brought up in
yeah.
my.
Oh, yeah. If you bring it up, and especially if it's a polite conversation.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, of course. I'll tell you what my thoughts are. And yeah. I won't even be a raging lunatic about it.
Yeah, that's right. Be perfectly clear. But as we indict some of these people, we also turn to. God, TMZ has this story now. And evidently, Ivanka Trump was accosted verbally on a JetBlue flight. I guess it's last night. Ivanka Trump.
Yeah,
this
I saw
that. Please stop doing this, people. Please don't do this. If you see Ivanka Trump,
there's something about that. There's something about that that, even though I know it shouldn't happen, there's yeah. something about that that makes me go, I kind of enjoy that.
I guess all bets are off in that respect. But I mean,
yeah,
come on.
I mean, it is a Trump. It is one of them. Yeah. This is not a case of this is not just some, like as you often say, this is not a non-combatant.
Yeah. She's going to basically
this
be
is
the
a combatant.
Yeah. She was.
You know, somebody made a really, really great comment. I can't remember. God, I hate this. I hate, like, I've taken so much media every day that I never remember who. Oh, actually, I think it was Lavoie who may have said something about how look, you know what? You can't control who your father is, mm-hmm. but you can control how you react to that person.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And, or no, it was John Foley, a friend of mine, who said, you know what? Like, if your dad is a raging head narcissist, you call him out on that and don't be seen supporting him.
But I mean, in this case, in case you haven't heard about this story yet, Ivanka Trump was sitting on a JetBlue flight in coach.
That's we're just like you.
Yeah, just like you. But it seems to me as if this is in perfect keeping with the fact that Donald Trump put scotch tape on his goddamn tie to hold it together. This is the kind of thing that
Ivanka doesn't get the Trump jet.
Yeah. I mean, some rich people are notoriously cheap, notoriously cheap. And, you know, Ivanka, her dad is what claims to be worth $9 billion or something. He's not worth even a fraction of that, but he claims to be worth that. And his daughter, basically the person who's going to be the de facto first lady, is riding coach on a JetBlue flight. So this guy comes up to her on this flight that's scheduled to leave JFK and says to her, your father is ruining the country. And then said, why is she on our flight? She should be flying private. The guy had his kid in his arms as he went on the tirade. Another passenger on the flight told
The entry of a child for me changes everything.
Passenger on the flight tells TMZ Ivanka ignored the guy and tried distracting her kids with crayons. So she had her kids with her.
Okay. All right, I don't know if she did. Then all
no. Right. No. Please, people. don't do crap like this. Let them be the ones acting out in public and making asses of themselves. This is bad.
There has to be another. We have to try to come up with another way to silently protest these people in a way that is dignified.
But not in personal confrontations like this with members of the Trump family or whoever. Bad form.
I think that maybe something as simple as just, look, I'm sure you're a very nice person, but you need to know that your father is a monster.
Yeah,
and that what he's going to do to the country is reprehensible. Thank you for your time.
The thing is, though, with Ivanka, Ivanka's maybe a voice of reason in all of this. It's kind of weird to say that, but it's true. And you kind of want, because Ivanka believes that the climate crisis is real and it was caused by human activity.
I don't think that she's a stupid person at all. I think that her husband is a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Jared Kushner is terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm embarrassed now that I once got a profile in The Observer. See, I'm just like Trump. I turned it toward me. I did that really well. No, you know what? She can be a voice of reason. I get that. Yeah. And I don't think that she's some kind of monster. But the fact is, anyone who enables this, and this is why I've broken off relationships with friends, with really good friends over this. Because I'm like, you enable the monster. I can have a polite discussion with you about it, but never think for a second the relationship that I have with you can ever be the same again. Because you looked at what he was and who he is and what he represents to the country and the things that he said and the things that he did and all the insanity. And you said, that's fine. I'll deal with that.
Yeah.
And that to me is monstrous.
You know, I don't mean to get off onto a tangent here, but I'm so glad that you brought that up. Because the one thing I've been thinking about is, as I've been looking at some of these polls, and we talked about some of these poll numbers on Tuesday's show, where, you know, they were polling Trump voters. But the percentage of Trump supporters who were, quote unquote, unsure about a bunch of these things, like unsure whether or not the stock market went down or up under Obama, not sure whether employment went down or up under Obama. And it was only like, I don't know what, 19%, 18% of respondents said that. But that represents a lot of Trump voters. A lot of Trump voters just didn't have an opinion on anything. They just didn't know. I'm wondering how many Trump voters, I mean, and I think it's in the millions. I think it's an election shifting percentage of Trump voters went into the voting booth and said, that's the guy from Apprentice. I'll just vote for him. You know, I recognize his name. Bink. And they vote for that. Candidate. They vote for Trump, not knowing, not following along, not having any idea the litany of horrible, horrible things that he said and done. They just, I recognize his name. Boink. And they cast their ballot. I think millions of people did that. Even if they were semi-informed of what was going on, they just didn't care. They just voted based on name recognition. I mean, we talk about this a lot, where we used to, which is that so many voters still vote based on how a candidate looks, you know, what they look like.
Oh, of course. And speaking of that, that segues very nicely into Trump cabinet.
Yes, exactly.
Where he's basically assembling them from central casting.
Exactly. We're going to talk about that right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Merry Christmas!
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Merry Christmas, babe. You sure did treat me nice.
we have a new Trump tweet.
Oh, good.
By the way, still some time left to use the Amazon link. Go to bobsesca.com and click the Amazon link and do all your shopping at amazon.com. All right. We all know about that. And thank you to everyone who used the Amazon link. I think we broke a record this time. Did really well with the Amazon link this month. I really, really appreciate that. Donald Trump tweeted just about an hour ago, just as we were starting the show. The United States must greatly strengthen and expand its nuclear capability until such time as the world comes to its senses regarding nukes.
That just makes no sense whatsoever.
That makes no sense.
I mean, fine, whatever. That's a throwaway. For him, that's a throwaway.
But still, God damn it. Donald Trump talking about making more nuclear missiles. Maybe he's just concerned about
China.
I don't know. So we need to expand our nuclear capability. What's the word on non-proliferation? We stopped making nuclear weapons, right? We're not still making nuclear weapons, are we?
I don't know.
But Donald Trump wants to keep making them. He also said this morning, someone incorrectly stated that the phrase drain the swamp was no longer being used by me. He's talking about Newt Gingrich. He's hitting Newt Gingrich now. And he said, actually, we will always be trying to DTS. That's what he said. Trying to DTS, drain the swamp.
Oh, my God. Hashtag DTS.
Hashtag DTS. Oh, God. We're so f***ed. We're so f***ed. I'm just looking at this and going, we're so f***ed. This is all horrible, horrible, horrible. First of all, he's not obviously not draining the swamp. That's not, I mean, it's just a line. Has no meaning anymore. Like being presidential has no meaning. He is, as you said before the break, Donald Trump is picking his cabinet based on how they look. And I especially love the part of this Washington Post profile about John Bolton. Did you see the part about John Bolton?
No.
Said several of Trump's associates said they thought that John R. Bolton's brush-like mustache was one of the factors that handicapped the bombastic former United Nations ambassador in the sweepstakes for Secretary of State. Quote, Donald was not going to like that mustache, said one associate who spoke on the condition of anonymity to speak frankly. Quote, I can't think of anyone that's really close to Donald that has a beard that he likes.
That is insane. That is fucking insane.
It is insane.
We're now a reality show.
He's casting
a reality show.
It's exactly what he's doing. This whole article is about how Donald Trump is picking his administration based upon how they appear in public. He picked Mad Dog Mattis because Mad Dog Mattis looks like George Patton. Or he actually looks
crazy.
It looks like Mattis. This is from the article. Mattis has a passing physical resemblance to the legendary World War II commander, as well as to the late actor George C. Scott.
Holy shit.
Who won the Academy Award for his portrayal of Patton in the 1970 biopic. Trump also seems particularly enamored with a nickname that Mattis is said to privately dislike. So Donald Trump is using this Mad Dog nickname, and General Mattis doesn't even like that nickname.
Amazing. Just said, amazing.
Trump, in a recent interview with New York Times, said, you know, he's known as Mad Dog Mattis, right? Mad Dog for a reason. The president-elect, however, does not mention Mattis's other nickname, which is Warrior Monk, or his call sign, Chaos.
Awesome.
But Mattis evidently, I mean, members of both parties are saying that Mattis is going to be pretty good. So I'm not necessarily shitting on Mattis. I'm just saying that Donald Trump is full of shit.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not. I have no opinion on Mattis whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the way he got in is just ludicrous.
I mean, this article by Philip Rucker and Karen Tumulty is just unbelievable. You got to read this article. Donald Trump is holding a government casting call. He's seeking, quote unquote, the look. By the way, this is also funny because after one of the big Trump troll comments after I wrote that article in Salon about being presidential or the death of being presidential was, why are you judging him based on his looks? I said, well, that was like two sentences in a 1,000-word article. But sure, yeah, part of it is his looks. But also, this is exactly what, I mean, he's actually choosing cabinet positions. The president-elect of the United States is choosing cabinet positions based on how they look in a lineup, essentially. Like, these are strong, tough people.
He's building a reality show.
Yeah, he really is. The parade of potential job seekers passing a bank of media cameras to board the elevators at Trump Tower has the feeling of a casting call. It is no coincidence that a disproportionate share of the names most mentioned for jobs at the upper echelon of the Trump administration are familiar faces to obsessive viewers of cable news, of whom the president-elect is one. Quote, he likes people who present themselves very well, and he's very impressed when somebody has a background of being good on television, because he thinks it's a very important medium for public policy, said Chris Ruddy, chief executive of Newsmax Media and a longtime friend of Trump.
Patty Chayefsky could have done acid in the 70s,
yeah,
and he could not have come up with this.
No.
That this is where we were going.
Yeah, I mean, God, don't you wish, you know, on certain occasions throughout the last, what are we into the Trump crisis? How many days are we into the Trump crisis? 44 days. It's 44 days for the Trump crisis right now. And I'm constantly thinking about what Christopher Hitchens and Hunter S. Thompson would say about Donald Trump right now.
Yeah.
I would just love to hear from those two guys.
They had the good sense to die.
I know. But man, it would be great to hear from both of them about this guy. This guy. And, you know, I was thinking about this, too, that, you know, Chez and I have been doing this since Bush was president. I mean, we basically were blogging through most of the Bush years, at least half of the Bush years. And so we kind of know what to expect to a certain extent, just in a very, very rudimentary way. It's just all of this. We have... I mean, I was watching the news last night and I'm going, I have no idea what this guy is going to do. I mean, I have a basic sense from a policy perspective what the congressional Republicans are going to send him by way of legislation, but I have zero idea about how he's going to behave. So even for people who have been following this for many, many years, we don't know. We don't know what he's going to do. It could be just an endless hellscape of horrible decisions that precipitate all kinds of instability throughout the world. But the other thing I was thinking about, too, is imagine you're a millennial and you're a first timer who just started following electoral politics, presidential politics with the Democratic primary in 2015, 2016. And your only frame of reference for how the president behaves and how politics function have occurred under the Obama administration and under no drama Barack Obama. Now they're going to be faced with Donald Trump.
China.
And it's going to be, I think, for first timers, regardless of whether you're a millennial or not, if you just started following politics under Barack Obama, it's going to be really scary. I'm just saying it's going to be really scary what you're going to be observing and the toxic nature of politics for the next, at least the next 4 years, or at least until he leaves office. I mean, this again, that's why I so prefer Mike Pence. I would just love Mike Pence to be president over Donald Trump. Not that I like Mike Pence, or not that I prefer his policies or anything like that. Yeah. I can pretty much predict what a Mike Pence presidency would be like. And that's
yeah,
and that there's a comfort in at least knowing Mike Pence would be basically a generic Republican chief executive. Donald Trump, again, we don't know what he's going to do. We don't from day to day. I mean, today he just went to Twitter and basically said we have to augment our nuclear stockpile. We have to start pumping out nuclear missiles again,
yeah,
which I can't even imagine how that's being seen on the world stage. We don't know. I mean,
we're
we don't know.
This point. Doomed. We really are. We are just doomed.
The millennials who are just stepping on board, their hair is going to turn white. Remember when we talked about how maybe Donald Trump wasn't going to be too hard on LGBT citizens? Well, screw that. He's going to sign this First Amendment Defense Act. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did hear about this. Yeah,
they're going to basically try to pass a national RFRA law, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, basically, which they're now calling the First Amendment Defense Act. And Donald Trump posted, it's right here on his website, that he's going to support the signing and the passage of that law. It says right here, religious liberty is enshrined in the First Amendment to the Constitution. It is our first liberty and provides the most important protection in that it protects our right of conscience. This is horrible writing, by the way. Activist judges and executive orders issued by presidents who have no regard for the Constitution have put these protections in jeopardy. If I am elected president and Congress passes the First Amendment Defense Act, I will sign it to protect the deeply held religious beliefs of Catholics and the beliefs of Americans of all faiths. The Little Sisters of the Poor, or any religious order for that matter, will always have their religious liberty protected on my watch and will not have to face bullying from the government because of their religious beliefs. So this means, I mean,
you're right. Everything is now a giant Napoleon Dynamite sigh.
Yeah.
I've got nothing.
Yeah.
Trump is, you know, tweeting about basically how we're all going to die.
Yeah, basically. Let's,
and then they're talking about letting, people who believe in their stupid sky God, rip on people who they don't like.
What we really want to do is now compel terrorists to get their hands on loose nukes or some sort of suitcase bomb and to walk up to, you know, maybe a place like Trump Tower or downtown LA, or downtown Chicago, and pop that one off. Donald Trump decided to go on Twitter and tweet about augmenting our nuclear arsenal. There's a nice last thought for the last free show of the year, but it's, you know, what are we going to do? It's got to get ready to fight. Got to get ready to fight. And by the way, just as a side note, if you're still arguing Bernie v. Hillary, just shut the f*** up. Enough of that shit. That was 6 months ago. Live in the now. We got a major fight on our hands against the biggest existential threat to the American democracy in the history of the United States, maybe since the Civil War. And now Donald Trump is going to sign the religious or the First Amendment Defense Act, basically a National Religious Freedom Act, which basically says if you have a religious belief, you can do whatever the fuck you want. So basically, yeah, like,
pretty much.
If you can find an excuse for owning slaves in the Bible, you could do that now. I went through a list here. Let's see. Slavery is authorized in the Bible in Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, Titus chapter 2, verse 9, and Peter chapter 2, verse 18. I just have those handy, and you too can own slaves during the Donald J. Trump administration. It'll never, by the way, it'll never get past the Supreme Court, or at least the current Supreme Court. So there is that bright ray of sunshine. Remember when Donald Trump said on 60 Minutes that he's not going to go after LGBT rights or same-sex marriage? He's just going to pass things like the First Amendment Defense Act, which makes, you know, actually guarantees it, that very few same-sex marriages can actually take place.
Merry Christmas!
All right, well, hey, look. Have a great holiday season. Thank you for supporting the show all year long. Thank you for supporting the Amazon link. Thank you for supporting our sponsors, Harry's Razors, Omaha Steaks, Bubble Genius, the Bowen Law Group, the Amazon link, all of it. Really, really appreciate all of your support throughout the year. Stick around. Next year is going to be huge on the show, and we've got a postmortem show coming up. Support us at patreon.com/Bob and Chess, most of all, and we'll see you over there, folks. Bye-bye.